want to know.
Huh. That's, yes. I want to go back to 68 and 69. Yeah. All the ruckus over the day of Bobby Kennedy's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Did not turn out as smoothly as the aftermath of Martin Luther King's funeral, which came right at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And it was easy for them to put it off a day or two. Right. The Kennedy funeral, was that the direct cause of Eckert being fired, or was that an excuse that they were looking for?
Nothing whatever to do. Literally, really? Nothing to do. Totally insignificant. In the cut, Eckert was totally incompetent, irrelevant, unable to function. They chose Eckert on the theory that they had at the time. Look, we don't need a commissioner. The last thing we want is a commissioner. We can't abolish the office because it will be a public relations disaster. We want a commissioner who will sit there and not bother us and let us do what we want to do. They got one. They found out after a couple of years, hey, this is worse than having a commissioner because we want him to be a front man for what we decide to do, and he's incapable of it.
At least Frick was a good front man.
Well, Frick was much more than that. Frick was inside a baseball family. Even Frick, as malleable as he was, by the end of his term, was too much of an obstacle for them. That's why they didn't want a commissioner at all. Even Frick was too much commissioner for them. So now they got a zero. They wanted a zero, they got a zero, and they found out, hey, we can't live with a zero. Because we want him to certify to the public that anything we want to do is a good thing, and he can't certify to the public that today is Tuesday. So they were determined to dump him long before this came up. They were determined to dump him a year before that. What was holding them up is a successor. We can't get together on a successor. If they'd had a successor, he would have been out in 67.
Right, and the proof, of course, is that it still took them two or three months
exactly.
to find the successor.
So these incidents had nothing to do with Eckert, in my opinion.
Okay.
Now, they had their own, but you got to remember two things. The Martin Luther King assassination was a national shock that had racial overtones at a time when, presumably, it was the interest of the nation to heal. It was on the heels of the city riots. Right? So the racial thing is very neutral politically. I mean, you know, everybody's for making things better. So, yeah, we ought to show respect to King and so forth. Bobby Kennedy was a controversial political figure. He was not automatically, he was a hero to a lot of writers. He wasn't a hero to a lot of ballplayers. I guarantee you that the majority of the major league population would not have voted for Bobby Kennedy president. Right? So now when you say, stop the world on behalf of Bobby Kennedy, you're saying a very different thing. You're getting into politics. Not everybody has the same view of that. Yes, a terrible thing for anybody to be assassinated. But to raise that to the level of an affair of state was objectionable to a lot of people, as well as necessary to a lot of people. So it wasn't a clear-cut thing. That plus the mechanical complication of what we're going to do in the middle of a schedule.
Yeah.
We may piss some people off by not canceling the games, but we'll piss off a lot of people if we do cancel the games. And the example in front of them was the National Football League plays on Sunday.
John Kennedy.
When John Kennedy was killed. He was the president of the country. Now, the NFL took a lot of criticism for that for a lot of people. But it prospered. Right?
Right.
It never paid any, it never did any harm to the National Football League. It might have gotten some writers to say nasty things about, about Roselle, but it didn't hurt the league.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were in a similar situation. Now, I happened to be, me personally, I was at the time, I was single. I was damn glad I had Yankee Stadium to go to that Sunday afternoon. I didn't want to spend another 5 hours staring at the sun. So it's not an open and shut case. Yeah, you can wave the flag and you can get very moralistic one way or the other. But it's not an open and shut thing of what's the right thing to do.
Right, but by not making a decision one way or the other, you wound up with chaos in Houston and Cincinnati and San Francisco.
Yeah, there was
and
a
chaos
mess.
Was
chaos is too strong a word.
Well.
It was a fuss. It wasn't chaos.
Yeah. Okay.
And also,
with a lot of hard feelings. I mean, Milt Pappas got traded over it. I believe it was a factor in Staub not wanting to go back to Houston.
No doubt, but you can cite a dozen such things every day that ball players get disenchanted with clubs and clubs get disenchanted with ball players, you know.
Yeah.
But so what? You know, that just differs from what the triggering course is. Also, in my opinion, at that moment, Miller and Morse, again, giving their political outlook, which is heavily pro-Canada, they didn't mind if something happened to let the criticism of the owners, you know, they didn't mind stirring the pot a little bit, since they're in the early stages of that adversary relationship. So I don't think it was that big a deal. I don't remember it being that big a deal. I mean, it was a big deal for 2 or 3 days, but then it was over. You know, it was, to me, it was much more like the earthquake than any real serious issue. It was a disruption caused by an external event, but I don't think it had any fundamental significance for anything before or after.
Were you at the meeting in December of 68 when Marvin Miller read off the list of players who had announced their support of the holdouts? Reading off a list of 400 names or whatever
was in
it
New
was.
York.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I was at the actual meeting.
At what point did you take the players' stand seriously? At what point did it occur to you that the players really are going to go ahead?
And do what?
And hold out and go through with their boycott.
I didn't attach much importance to it at all at the time. I mean, no. As I say,
if it happens, it happens.
They were just another bunch of holdouts. So they were going to hold out. I didn't see where that was going to get them anywhere.
Yet it did get them somewhere.
It might have. We'll never know.
Right. That's what I'm trying to speculate on.
You know,
what would have happened? Not that this would have been the case, but suppose Chuck Feeney had been commissioner.
Well, they weren't going to threaten not to play. They were just going to not sign their contracts. Now, the regulations were, if you don't sign your contract,
right,
I won't let you come to camp.
Right.
At a certain point, if the club's orders say, okay, come to camp without a contract.
And they do what they did with Al Downing, just invoke the...
Well, whatever, so play. Now, they wanted to play without a contract for other reasons, but It never got to the point where it really would have had any effect, because Bowie put a stop to it real soon.
But it could have gotten to that point.
It could have, but I don't see what was inherent in the situation that could have really accomplished anything for either side. I think it was simply, and a very good one from Marvin's point of view, it was a consciousness-raising exercise. But I didn't see where it could have any practical effect. Because they weren't threatening, to say, well, you know, I'm going to stay out. After all, they're not getting paid. They weren't threatening to stay out past opening day.
But, if they had stayed out long enough, they would have delayed opening day to get paid.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't get paid. They weren't about to do that at that stage.
Which suggests that if Kuhn prevailed on the owners...
No, but that's why why Marvin chose that method of conflict.
Okay.
Because he knew it was something he could get them to do. It cost them nothing to do it. And it would give them a sense of solidarity, and it would make the point, and it would present the clubs with a dilemma about exhibition games. Right? But it wouldn't really ask them in the first year of his regime, to do without your livelihood. Remember, in a system where they still had the contractual right to fire anybody anytime they wanted. Or send them back to the minors, or, you know.
As March 1st approached, some players announced that they would start reporting Seaver, Sano, Kuzmin, people like that. So, players would have dribbled into camp.
Some would have dribbled.
Gradually. And sometime in the middle of March, when the fail-safe point was reached beyond which they had to report or not be ready, you think...
collapsed.
Showed up, right?
No question about it.
And Miller wouldn't have made any attempt to force the issue.
He couldn't.
He had no...
With whom was he going to force? What was he going to force?
No way to.
Yeah.
So why did Kuhn panic?
Kuhn did
panic is too strong a word.
Yeah, no. Kuhn did what he had to do. Kuhn said, hey, look, I'm the commissioner of baseball. My function is to supply baseball to the American people.
Right.
Can't supply it if they don't go to camp. Now, whatever we're arguing about, we can argue about while we play baseball. And after all, the owners weren't unanimous either.
Right.
On their side about what to do. Now, most of them thought it was silly to be having this hassle in the way they were having it. Right. So I think that whole episode is merely the first great successful educational enterprise of Miller, educating the players what unionism is about.
But you don't think
in
he
a hothouse example where there wasn't any. There wasn't going to be any real consequence one way or the other.
All right. I'm with you on Miller's side of it. But if Kuhn saw it the same way, he wouldn't have felt any urgent need to pressure the owners. Right? He just would have let it take its course.
Baseball, in the meantime, was getting it. What you were reading about was the players aren't reporting.
Right.
That doesn't sell any tickets.
But if he knew the way...
And you know, in those days, you've got to remember again, it's always the context of time. It was 1968. In 1968, there are very, very few season ticket plans. The television money is not that big. The whole purpose of spring training is to sell tickets for into the season.
As it always had been.
Right? That's what it was doing since 1920. Well, you're not going to sell any tickets while they're reading about players holding out. If you want my guess, you know, this is a retroactive guess 25 years
exactly
later.
What I want.
But my guess is that what would have happened was by the middle of March, the owners would have said, come on back in.
You think they would have said that on their own?
Yeah. Yeah. I also think that what Bowie did when he did it wasn't against the wishes of the owners. It was against the wishes of half a dozen owners. But it wasn't against the majority, because no commissioner can ever do anything against the wishes of the majority. If they really didn't want him to do it, they wouldn't let him do it. The fact that they let him take credit for doing it is to their interest. We just named him commissioner. Okay, he's showing he's a strong commissioner. But privately on the phone, he must have had pretty wide agreement, hey, this isn't getting us anywhere. The issue isn't going to go away. Whether the players come to camp or not, we're still going to have to make some kind of settlement about the World Series money, one way or another. So I think it was entirely an educational operation on Miller's part and, you know, an annoyance on the owner's part. They looked upon it simply as a mass demonstration of the same kind of holdout thing they've been dealing with for years.
And so they didn't believe that it would amount to anything.
No.
As you don't.
No, I don't think so. And I don't recall anybody talking that it would amount to anything in terms of affecting the season. Yeah, maybe the fan reading the newspaper felt that way, but I remember among ourselves saying, you know, gee, this is going to go on, what's going to happen, I ain't going to have baseball this year. Nobody said anything like that. All the talk was, well, how are they going to settle it? Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be next week? Is it going to be what, you know?
Was it unthinkable then that there would be an actual labor stoppage by one side or the other?
Well, there was never any question of a stoppage in lockout terms because that had never come up. Right? And no, I don't think anyone believed that they would go on strike and not play. What for?
By 72, did the writers believe it could happen?
Most did not. Yeah, by 72 I did.